to me, this year has been all about just nothing of teaching or getting a word to share. In fact, I feel almost silly because that's not the heart I'm coming in. To me, every opportunity to give the Father his son, that's been the hidden one, you know, not something in front of people and not something, oh, I saw something deep in the word. That's so not all of our hearts. I know that. And so, with all my heart, this is not that. And maybe it's been that way in my life, almost all my life, but God is changing me. He's changing me and I need it and I need more. I think it was in 2003, on New Year's Eve, I went up on a walk up in the hills in Pennsylvania in Hershey, you know, and the Lord shared something with me personally that has profoundly affected my life, but it hasn't been fulfilled yet. And he said, Kelly, you're going to have a choice the rest of your life, whether you're going to be of God or it's going to be God. And he said, and it's just going to affect everything, your whole, the course of your existence. How you feel, how our relationship is, what your life means to me. And he said, of God, he said, I can anoint you. He said, I will use you in powerful ways. People will hear things from the Spirit and it'll be incredible, but it won't be me in what I am as God. He said, but you'll have a life and you'll have a life in the service of the King. You'll be a minister. Then he said, or you can choose God. And he said, and it's going to look so different. There's going to be altars and reproach and shame and bearing my crucified son in the way he is, his reproach, his ministry to the Father, his way of giving the Father through, which is so different than flashy ministry or deep things. And he said, you're going to make a choice, and when that choice is made, one yes at a time, Jesus is going to be changing, is going to be growing in you. Christ will form, and it'll affect everything of God or God. That's simple. That's not what I had to share, but that's I can't even share until I say that this year, because you know, God gets his son when it's God, when it's Christ, really, really the Lamb. And maybe everybody else gets something from the Spirit, but wouldn't it be great to come not just with a message, but in a crucified state of being where Christ in you is pouring out. And there's something behind this. There's some blood behind the words. And there's some death in the offering. I'm not saying there is. I want there to be in me, but that's not I. It's Christ. You know, nobody's sufficient but Christ in us. He's the one. But how wonderful that whatever we say to someone, whether it's witnessing at the grocery store or talking to our family, that they feel there's blood in the altar. There's something more than words coming at them. There's something more than just Jesus is the correct way to go. This is a true message from the Spirit. But there's blood on the altar. There's something coming out that's death. He's dying for them to have life. He's dying for them to have life. He's not being right, so they're corrected. He's dying so they can have life. And he's always doing that, always bearing about in our bodies the dying of the Lord Jesus. That's my heart so much more than even the word the Lord gave for today. So pray for me. Maybe we should just pray that first, and then we can get in the scriptures with a different approach. Well, at least for me. So Lord, we want every word that you speak into our hearts to be inscribed in blood, with the pen of the Spirit in fleshly tables. Where you're writing us, writing the Lamb into us in nature and in intention and motive and Spirit. And that words aren't words like they were in the Old Covenant, just teachings from tables of stone, pages with ink. That there's a release like Paul had, that I come in fear and trembling, and I come bearing his marks in my body. I come a house filled with lit altars, Lamb ascending, words carrying the fragrance, the savor of Christ, not just the truth of Christ. Oh Lord, if people could know you in that way, they'd taste you. They'd taste and see God is beautiful. He's a Lamb. They'd know him. They'd fall in love. Oh Lord, we're not sufficient for that. That's your lamb in us. That's the savor of Christ in us. That's when we allow him to be who he is in us and give himself and sacrifice for others, for the Father. Oh, let it be more real going forward than we've ever known before in each one of us and in our approach to everything, not just ministry, everything, always bearing about in our body, in our mortal flesh, the dying of Jesus, that life might work in others. Amen. Amen. Well, in that heart, there is something that I felt the Lord had, but it was more like a representation of things he goes through. It was almost like sitting down and hearing a little bit about the Lord's pain, but the Word of God, which there's no better way to share God's view than through God's Word. You know, I could have a dream or I could have an impression. That's nothing. The Word of God, that's his Word. And the Spirit bears witness to the Word of God. And that's the authority we come under to hear from him. So I just want to speak from the Word. And it's Moses being an original house sheep, one of the beginning house sheeps in the scriptures, but also a shepherd, you know, a shepherd who had millions of sheep. And millions of sheep that he saw the potential to become lambs. Can you imagine being that shepherd, taking the hillside sheep on a journey to the promised land, to the house, and knowing there was the potential to offer up millions of lambs in this group? I mean, if you loved God, just feeling that way. And then God calling Moses up to be with him on the mount and to share things that were deeply in his heart. Like, you know, God had just landed. He'd always been up. Like Randy said last night, he spoke to Abraham, he spoke to Noah, but he had never landed on planet Earth with the intention of not just being with us, but living in us. That was just radical moves of love. I mean, that's God going, I am fixing to risk everything, not just to be with you or visit you. We were talking about visitations last night, but to dwell in you. He said, Zion is a place of my rest forever. Oh my God, to be David on the run from Saul and to hear that while you're laying in the woods. Oh, you want to dwell in us forever, Zion, the house sheep. Oh man. And so God says, I want to talk to you about my house. I want to talk to you about how I want it to be decorated, down to naming people that are down the hillside sheep down there, the children of Israel. I'm going to name names. I have things. This person's going to decorate this, and this person's going to be a priest, and this person's going to, make the veil. And then, and he's from chapter 25 to 32. He's just up there with Moses. It says Moses didn't eat or drink for 40 days. He was just face to face with God. And God's like, I've got a friend, and can I talk to you? Can we just talk right now? I want a house, and I want it to be in them, and I want it decorated not with plants, but with altars and specific things. And so they're talking, and this thing's going on, and it's just amazing. God's just, his heart is like a floodgate opened. I mean, he's just vulnerable. He's just pure old vulnerability. This is every, God doesn't talk about his desires much, does he? He's tending to hillside sheep too much. This, he found in Moses someone. Well, those people down there, it says it in chapter 32, they're going, it's been a long time since Moses has come down and washed my lounge chair. We have needs, Moses. We have needs. You're supposed to love the sheep. And it's been really long. I mean, it's there in the scriptures, chapter 32. Maybe someone can look it up. It's right there. They said, it's been a long time. Can you read that? Oh, I have it. Now when the people saw that Moses, is that? Now when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, why was he delayed coming down from the mountain? Because God was sharing so much of his heart about how to build this house that he was going to dwell in, that the people gathered themselves together around Aaron, and God blessed that under shepherd. He had a force to reckon with that day, and said to him, come, make us gods which will go before us. As for this man, Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what's become of him. So these hillside sheep, they're accusing and distrusting the man that fed them lamb and led them out of Egypt. They felt neglected by Moses because he was spending too much time with God. And they assumed he had forgotten about them, while all the while he's up there with God telling them about how he wants to dwell in every single one of them in a way that would fulfill their purpose as a peculiar people called to be his above all other people on the earth at that time. And yet they are mad at him because he's spending too much time with God. You can see more the spirit of the hillside sheep there. So they take matters into their own hands, and the gold that Moses was about to say, take your gold and we're going to weave it into the tapestry of this, and we're going to pour it for this altar, and we're going to willingly create this home for God where sacrifices will flow, where his lamb will go. They said, let's take this gold and make a golden calf. Just days before God was going to show them what that gold was meant for. And they make it in the image of a calf, not a lamb. I mean, these things break God's heart. These are like, to me, they're just details. To God, he's like, a calf with the gold? Because you thought Moses, I mean, these are heartbreaking things. He just opened up. He's been opening up his heart up there. It was a heartbreaking situation. It was a breach, a real breach. And so if you know the scriptures, we're not going to look at them. They're there. And it says it clearly. After this happened, God moved his tent outside the camp. He said, I will no longer dwell in the midst of this people. Can you imagine that? He just popped down on Mount Sinai and just had a little bit of time with his best friend. And now he's like, I'm not even going to live in the middle. I'm outside. So he lives in this place called the Tabernacle of Meeting. It's just the tent where God is by himself. I call it the prison tent. He's just been outside the camp, rejected, alone. And who knows if God is a person and if he's real and we were created in his image, who knows how he felt in the Tabernacle of Meeting? I mean, truly, who knows what it felt like? And the book of Leviticus isn't named Leviticus to Hebrews. It's called Vayikra or something like this, which means, and he called. And he called. And it was given, the book of Leviticus was given after the breach, after this incident. And I'm skipping ahead, but okay. And it's in the Hebrew. The word called starts with a lowercase symbol, which means that he didn't do it in a loud voice. He did it in a broken voice. And it says he called to Moses. He said, Moses, come. And he's calling to him. It says it in chapter 1 of Leviticus from the Tabernacle Meeting. So he's saying, now he's not calling him to come up the mountain with a big heart full of, I can't wait to tell you about the house. I can't wait to tell you about the house. He's calling from his place of being rejected by the people who accused his man of not caring while he was giving him the plan for their whole lives with so much love and intimacy behind it. There could be no higher love for the people than this in the heart of God or Moses. And now he's out there and he just calls Moses, would you come over? Would you come? You come here? He's like, I want to talk to somebody who cares. Who's not just going to ask me to, why were you not there for me? We were suffering down there and we needed a golden calf to give us a sense of purpose because we didn't have any. Where's the purpose? Nobody's here. We're alone. We're going to have to make a life for ourselves now. You failed us. He's like, can I just talk to my buddy? And he loves those people in the camp. Those are his sheep. Those are his people. He loves them. So he begins with the first 7 chapters of Leviticus saying, tell them, can you believe this vulnerability, but this love in God's heart for us, for the hillside sheep? He goes, listen, Moses, can we talk again? Moses like, yes, I love you. What is it? What is it on your heart? I still want to dwell in them. I can't change the Godhead. We want to bring them into our ways. We want to dwell in them, but it has to be our way, our life, our spirit. So let's not talk about the breach. Let's not talk about the problems. Let's talk about the Lamb. Have any one of them who has a willing heart bring a lamb, an unblemished lamb of the first year, or a ram without blemish. Or for seven chapters, he says, any one of a willing heart, have them bring an offering, and it will heal the breach. We'll be back. We'll be one. Seven chapters of sweet savor, free will offering sacrifices is what God says to Moses. He's still trying to get the house. He's building the house. And for the, if Leviticus doesn't appear to be one of the most boring books in the Bible, and you read that first chapter or that first sentence or those first words, and God called Moses to him in the tabernacle of meeting, you go, okay, praise the Lord. And here we go with the rules. Number 700, number, boring. It's not that. It's so beautiful. And he's beginning to say, this is how my house functions. This is how my house is. And I want them to be my house. So anyone with a free will to give me my lamb, come and offer and let us feast. And all the prodigals who failed me and were living riotously with the things I gave them, even with prostitutes and crazy parties. He said, I've been looking from a long way off. Will any come back to me with my lamb to offer? And what did he do in Luke when he saw someone come with the slain lamb to be offered? Not their own righteousness, not just forgiveness, but to come back into the spirit of the house, the Father's house. What did the Father do? He ran first. And then what did he do once he got there? Kissed him. This is God's heart for his son. It's his heart for us, but it's his heart for us as those who are partaking of the divine, who are letting the Lamb be our true life, to be part of their family through this Lamb being offered. And he wants, and it's like we were saying, it's the only time the Father danced, but he didn't dance over the elder son. He danced over this son who broke his heart, but brought him a free will offering of the Lamb. He threw it on the barbecue. They feasted. They danced. They made merry. The neighbors wondered what. Who can even describe that kind of joy? But maybe the Holy Spirit. But I'd rather, and I think 1 Peter's full of this, I'd rather know joy unspeakable and full of glory, because I was willing to let my soul be saved by that Lamb God put in me, who was willing to give his life through me, and I was willing to fellowship in whatever suffering came for that to happen. And that joy that's so unspeakable and full of glory, that's not my joy. That's God's joy. That this which was before us, before the world, before the creation, has now made manifest in his own people. That which is them has now become ours, because the Lamb is given the freedom to come out of his prison cell, lay upon the throne of our hearts, which is really an altar, and be who he is, a sacrifice to the utter joy of the Father, and life for others. It's just beautiful, isn't it? It's just beautiful. And so, Moses goes, oh Lord, I don't want to go after this. He goes, I don't want to go anywhere without your presence. I want to be with you. He's getting so close to the heart of Jesus. I want to be where you're not going to be with us. We're not going to move lest your presence go with us. This is right in the same chapter 33 of Exodus. And so, the Lord says, I will, you have found grace in my sight. and my presence will go with you. But Moses is not satisfied with that. And that to me is, let's see if it says, So they have the presence of God. They have the plan for his house and how it should function. They have the heart cry, bring my lamb in this way with a willing heart, all these things that Leviticus defines. They have all of this, the presence, the plan, the purpose, all laid out by God. They have all of this. And Moses, that crazy wild man for Jesus, goes, not enough. I mean, Christ, you know, a New Testament believer could rattle one of our services and go, excuse me, Christ in me, the hope of glory, not good enough. The presence of God in me, just a hope of God getting glory, not good enough. I want the glory. I want God to get glory. I just don't want that presence to be a hope it might happen, could happen, because I do have a lamb in my house, so there's always hope that he's going to glorify the Father through me. But and I'm okay that just Jesus is in me. He never has to really lay his life down through me and bring the Father glory because I'm satisfied with his presence. Moses was like, am I hearing this correctly? That I can be born again, saved, a believer, one with Jesus, bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. Christ is in me. I have the presence of God, which is Jesus in me everywhere I go all the time. And yet it's just a hope of glory. And I'm supposed to be happy that that's the end of the day there? He goes, oh God, this is verse 18 of chapter 33 of Exodus. He goes, I love these words. These have been in me for about a year. I just can't get past these words. Moses cries, it says cries, I beseech you, show me your glory. This is after he said the presence will go with you. Moses goes, but I beseech you, show me your glory. And I don't know. It was like a guttural cry. I don't know if he knew what he was asking. I mean, he didn't have all the teachings of the epistles of Paul, what Christ in you and the glory of first, you know, all the things that have been defined in the New. He just said, oh, the presence isn't enough. Just having a lamb in the house isn't enough. Where's the glory to God? Where's you getting glory out of this? So his heart's crying out. And the Lord, this is the old covenant. Christ isn't in people yet. Jesus hasn't gone to the cross. So it's not that time. So he kind of says to them, no man can see me and live. Thank you for the cross. We can. He says, I'll show you my back parts. My face can't be seen. And Moses is going, wait, but we just had face-to-face fellowship. And now you're telling me my face can't be seen. I just saw your face for 40 days on the mount. I don't know what the answer is. A thought came to me. Maybe there's a different face that is seen when the Lamb is glorifying the Father through us than just that face-to-face fellowship we have in the Word. Maybe we can't see that face, the glory of God in the face of Jesus, until we've turned from it just being about us and even the presence of God in us to the Son of God glorifying his Father through us. And that glory which the Father and the Son had before the world was, we see their glory in the face of Jesus. And that's different. That's different. Yeah, Jennifer, go ahead.
Requires our death.
Yes, I believe so. Yeah, and Moses wasn't that time period. I mean, he was in his spirit, but we have to be dead. And the glory they had has to be greater than something we have with God. Even if our face glows because we saw something so amazing, Lord, show me thy glory, the one you had with your Son before me, the one that I have to be dead and it can't even be about me on any level. And God's saying, you know, you found grace in my sight, Moses. You found grace in my... Moses, I don't want grace in your sight. I want to see you and your Son. Forget, get me out of the equation. This isn't about me being a hillside sheep, even getting grace. I want to know your glory. I want to know something that isn't me, that's before me, that's after me, that can go through me, but it's not me. It's Christ in me, but Christ in me glorifying his Father through giving his life as a lamb. I want that glory. I beseech you. And I mean, I can hear the Apostle Paul going, that I might know him, that I can, it's like the same guttural cry in Paul being, in the power of his resurrection, which is a lamb being that, you know, a lamb being lifted up to fellowship in his sufferings, to be made conformable to, I want to know, I beseech you, show me your glory. Let me partake of the divine nature. It's not me. It's not my suffering. It's not anything of me. It's Christ in me. I want a fellowship in that which is you, and that you made a house in me so you could live through me the way you were before time. I beseech you, show me your glory. But now it's more like, I want to bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. And I'll know that joy and I'll know that glory when the Lamb gives his life through me. And I fellowship in not my sufferings, his sufferings. And it's not I, but it's Christ, no longer the hope of glory, but Christ, the one who is actually glorifying the Father through his house, his body, not I, but Christ. The Lord passed, showed Moses his glory, but it says he passed him by. I'll show you my glory while I pass by. Moses is like, you're passing me by. I'm just beholding something. It's like the children, when I used to go to the tabernacle of meeting to worship God, Moses would say, and they all just watched in their doors and worshiped from a distance. He's like, I don't want to just watch you pass me by in your glory and worship from a distance. There is God over there. They're amazing. Aren't they beautiful? They're so, you know, up in heaven or wherever. Pass me by so I can just get a glance of your glory. But Lord, I was created to fellowship in that, to be the house of that, to know it on the inside as Jesus, the Son, does that. It's deeper. It's a New Testament, a new covenant. It's after the cross. And but it's the same heart. It's the same love. It's loving God more than ourselves, loving God more than life itself, loving God more than anything. So much so that we just want him to be free to be who he is in us, his house, and who he is as a lamb, and who they are is this self-giving nature. And so I'm just going to read now, just in closing, we're not going to go long, just a few scriptures from 1 Peter. And Randy has shared so much, and you all have shared so much, and we've soaked so much, that I'll just end with a couple of these New Testament scriptures. From a man who is exhorting sheep. I think Peter was a shepherd. Wasn't he a shepherd? So here we have Peter, a New Testament shepherd, exhorting sheep to let it be more than just the presence, but to let the Lamb within bring glory to his Father through us, and through us allowing that flow to happen. These are just a few. 1 Peter 4:13. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory, there's that word, shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. Can I read it again? But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering. He's telling his sheep, Peter's telling sheep this, that when his glory shall be revealed, you might be glad and also with exceeding joy that they're receiving. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified, because we're letting the Lamb, you know, be our reaction, be our response. Yes. Glory. It is, I don't know the definition. My thoughts would be that it's what happens in a New Testament born again believer when they allow Christ in them, who is a lamb in his being, to give himself through them to the Father and for others in selfless giving. So yeah, in John 12:24-25, he says, now is the Son of Man glorified, because he's going to the cross to give himself. And that's where glory That's when glory doesn't come in any other place or any other way. And, you know, there's a lot of people who say the glory fell on that service, or I saw something glorious. My personal search of the scriptures and what I've heard, that glory does not happen apart from the Lord himself giving himself through us in sacrifice, and that glorifying the Father, because the selfless giving is to glorify another, is to lift up another unto death. Isn't it beautiful? And to just be satisfied to have Jesus in me, in his presence, when I could know that, doesn't it say it, Jim, that they might know my glory, that they might know me? John 17, the glory that I had with my Father. So he's not just saying that they could see something that was before them in God, but that they could participate through Christ in them in this glory where Jesus would give himself to the Father, and in sacrifice they would know it inside their house, experientially. Paul got radical on us and said, always bearing in my body the dying of the Lord Jesus. It wasn't an event with Paul. It's a lot of glory. A lot of lambs on his altar. I don't have anything near that. I'm not even going to look at myself. I'm going to look at the Lamb. That's just a distraction right there. That sentence needs to be retracted. He's the one who glorifies his Father. He's in my house, and I just want to let him be who he is. And he'll give himself in sacrifice, and the Father will be glorified. And there's going to be a joy in my life and a satisfaction, because I know at that moment I fulfilled my purpose, why God made me. Because Jesus was able to live through me in that spirit, in that way. So, you know, I feel like that's, I felt like the Lord gave that as just a scriptural, another witness of what we're in the drama. You know, it's another witness. And it says that, you know, with many witnesses, something's established. And the word of God is shouting this out from the beginning of the book to the end, and the Spirit with him. So let's just pray. But I'm going to ask, maybe Randy has something to share or something to pray. We're going to let Emmy come forward to do some worship. And as she's getting ready, we'll just say a little prayer. And Father, we just thank you for your vulnerability, your incredible love, undefinable why, but it's true. Do you stay so open? And then you just wash it all away at the sheep pool and make everything new so that we can give ourselves through Jesus without a thought of the journey where we failed. You just want your Son. You just want that one that you put in us to be who he is. Forget about what came before like the prodigal did, and just enter into the joy of the Lord through Jesus. Let your house be filled with the Lamb giving himself in us together and in each one of us individually. We just continue with you now as Emmy blesses us with time with you through worship. In Jesus' name.